Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Redefining Security podcast. Have you ever thought that we are selling cybersecurity insincerely, buying it indiscriminately, and deploying it ineffectively? Perhaps we are. So let's look at how we can organize a successful InfoSec program that integrates people, process, technology, and culture to drive growth and protect business value. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com.
EdgeScan offers continuous vulnerability intelligence as a service, accurately identifying vulnerabilities and exposures across the full stack. All threats are verified by cybersecurity experts, providing exploitable risk and remediation guidance, virtually false positive free. Learn more at edgescan.com. Archer empowers organizations to manage multiple dimensions of risk on one platform with on-premises and software as a service offerings, and quickly implement industry standard processes and best practices for advanced risk management maturity, informed decision-making, and enhanced business performance. Learn more at archerirm.com.
Hey, Marco.
Sean, what's going on? You doing all right?
I'm doing all right, but did you see that coming?
No, but I'm going to react when he does.
Right. I didn't see it either. Well, I'm hoping you're taking care of it.
Oh, well, I thought you did. Luckily, we have a contingency plan.
We do have a contingency plan.
Which is what?
Pull the plug.
Freak out?
Freak out, pull the plug. Actually, I'm gonna use this opportunity to say, get help.
Exactly.
And today's conversation is about dealing with crises. And we have a new friend joining us today, Param Iftikhari. And he's going to lead us through leading through adversity during a crisis. Param, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Marco. It's great to be here. Looking forward to a fun chat.
Well, we hope you are prepared, because obviously, right. As you could tell, we're not. But I think this is a conversation about not much, as we were joking, to react to a crisis, but how to be prepared before a crisis happens. And I may even dare say that we are always in a constant crisis in our life, in our businesses. So that's what we'd like to talk about today. But Sean, before doing that, we need to introduce Param.
I know, so many things in my mind already, but I want to hear more about Param first and who he is, and let our audience know what he brings to the table today in terms of experience. So Param, a few words, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot to talk about under this umbrella here. And Marco, you're absolutely correct. Just a little bit of a background. I've been in the national security and cybersecurity space for about a dozen years now, starting, of course, kind of in technology. Most recently, I was at the Institute for Critical Infrastructure Technology, a cybersecurity think tank. So a lot of my perspectives on dealing with crisis and being proactive comes from the perspective of protecting our nation's critical infrastructure sectors and reducing risk from a national security and economic resiliency perspective. Currently, I'm the board chair of ICIT, and I spend my days as the executive director of the Cybersecurity Collaborative, which is a membership organization for CISOs, where essentially we create a private environment for cybersecurity executives from the Fortune 500 down to medium and SMBs to share best practices, lessons learned. So I have the privilege of working with some fantastic executives and talking about these issues, talking about crisis management and risk management in the context of cybersecurity. And so, looking forward to opening up this dialogue and trying to help some of your listeners walk through these complex issues.
Yeah, love it. And thrilled to have you on, Param. And what I want to do first is maybe, because Marco alluded to it, constant state of crisis. And that, as you said that, I could shake my head and say yes. And then I'm thinking, well, is that really the case? Or is it just a constant state of decision-making and path following, and some decisions and paths are harder than others? So I guess the question for me to kick it off is, what defines a crisis, and is a crisis avoidable, or are we all really in a state of crisis all the time, as Marco suggested?
Yeah, that's a really great place to start. And I think at the end of the day, and we're going to talk about, you know, the professional world here. I think when we think about what we as professionals and as executives are doing at the end of the day, is we all have a plan, right? We have a business plan, and we're executing against that. And throughout the course of our days and our weeks and our months, we're constantly faced with deviations from that plan, right? Nothing ever goes according to what we set out to do. And those deviations normally are small to kind of mid-ranged, and they're manageable. When they're manageable, I think most of the time we don't consider them a crisis. They could be a nuisance. They can be perhaps, you know, create pressure or stress, but they don't create what you and I, you know, or most of us would deem to be a true crisis. I think when a deviation from the plan, you know, or an incident, right, rises to the level of a crisis, it's when so much energy is created that it becomes a threat to you and your organization ability to fulfill the mission, right? A threat to your survival, a threat to sometimes the existence of maybe an individual, you know, within the organization continuing to be there, maybe the brand and its integrity, you know. So I think it's really about the severity of the deviation from the day-to-day operations and how it could impact the reputation to the organization or the actual survival of the organization itself, depending on how severe that crisis could be. And so I think to the comment that Marcos, you know, you made earlier, what we really need to think about when it comes to crisis management is, you know, are you as an organization, are you as a leader within your organization, have you thought through different scenarios that are risks to your organization at that kind of highest level, and are you prepared to deal with those? And I think, and candidly, I've learned a lot of this just through experience. Right, as a business leader, I've been an entrepreneur most of my career, and I could candidly say that I had not. You know, I've earned my through one of the crises that I can reflect back on. I was on a call with the head of PR for a billion-dollar company. And unfortunately, they got looped into a crisis that I was dealing with, you know, as a client of mine. And it was a nice call, very stressful call for me. But at the end of the call, the guy said, by the way, you did a very, very cordial. You did a great job. You know, that was very well handled. You know, it looks like you're earning your crisis management, you know, stripes. And I laughed at it. And I said, you know, this is exactly what it was, because I didn't plan for the scenario that I was dealing with. And so I think you really need to think through, and you can't necessarily plan for specific scenarios themselves, because, you know, you can't predict the future, but you can, I believe, develop certain processes and frameworks and guardrails. So when a crisis does develop, you can at least implement some actions to mitigate the impact and be more prepared to protect yourself and your organization.
Yeah, and I want to stick with this for a moment, and I know Marco has some thoughts on this as well. But so your description of crisis was presented in the context of the business. What could disrupt the business plan and reaching the objectives in that plan? And I'm wondering, thinking about our own business, something might be a crisis for me and not very important for Marco, and vice versa. But together, collectively, we have our publication, that something bigger would be a crisis for the organization. And I'm wondering, because something is important to an individual, does that not mean it's a crisis for the company and the leaders as well? I'm just wondering if an individual can have a crisis, and are they responsible for dealing with it themselves because it doesn't impact the objective of the company?
That's a fantastic point. I think I was answering the previous question from the perspective of the business executive. I think each of us has a sphere of influence, right? And we each have a sphere of responsibilities within the organization. I think that when that kind of deviation from your plan and from your set of responsibilities happens, that could escalate to "quote unquote," you know, the crisis. I think you're absolutely right. It's not meant to diminish the severity of whatever that incident is, but I think at the end of the day, from the organization's perspective, I think it's important to put things in context. I think that if you're looking at an organizational level, for example, this isn't to diminish the impact of how an employee feels, because I truly believe that feelings matter, and you have to, you know, employees are the most important thing to the success and health of a business. I think more important than customers, to be quite honest with you. So for example, if somebody's in marketing and there's a catastrophic, you know, marketing email that goes out that has the wrong subject line, goes to the wrong database, and has wrong pricing, for example, and all this stuff. For that marketing person who did that, that could be a crisis because, you know, they're going to get a lot of pressure and everything. I think to the CEO, probably not a crisis, right? Probably just something bad that happened. It's embarrassing, but they know that marketing is going to deal with it. So I think that while it might be a crisis to that person, and we should deal with it, I think in the context of things, I don't think the organizations look at that as a crisis. I think they look at it as an opportunity to put in some processes to make sure it doesn't happen again. So, I do really think that management should teach the employee that don't look at that as a crisis. Look at that as a mistake that happened that we can come through and educate the employees of what a crisis is versus what a bad day at the office looks like.
Yeah, those are a great point. And, you know, I always picture a panic button and a don't panic button. And who decide who pushes that and when, right? Yeah. I was actually reading a book in these days, and it talk about the culture of a company. And one example is when Toyota brought their manufacturer system here in the U.S. and they revolutionized an entire manufacturer in a specific area that was famous for not being very productive, but with their system where they were empowering every single individual to pull a cord and stop the building chain, which was something that, according to the American mentality, you couldn't do that because you're losing money, right? So, but actually, when you do that, you empower the individual to decide when it's time to push that panic button or not. But there is also a plan behind it. So where I'm trying to go with this is you can't just give a panic button to everyone. And the culture of the company, it's probably what need to look ahead and say, when this happen, if this happen, it's a crisis. Let's panic. Otherwise, as you say, the CEO is just like, it's just business as usual. So how can we prepare and create that culture in a company where we don't panic necessarily?
Yeah, I think the word culture is the key word in what you talked about, culture and prepare. I think leadership is pervasive. So when we talk about leaders, I truly believe that that leadership, yes, there are people who are leaders in an organization because they have certain titles and have certain levels of responsibility. But I really firmly believe that you don't necessarily have to have people reporting to you and have budget and have these types of things to be a leader. And I really believe that. I think the most successful cultures, the most successful organizations have cultures where they empower every organization to feel and be like leaders. So let me kind of start there. That being said, I think, you know, the culture that exists that eliminates kind of that where there's not a lot of chaos, right? Where everything's a crisis and they're constantly operating in panic mode, I think are ones where the individuals that do have responsibility over projects are the ones that when they do see something happen, right? When that bad marketing email goes out, they let that person know, it's okay, mistakes happen. Let's talk about what happened and why it happened. Let's make sure it doesn't happen again, because there are consequences to the business and, you know, to the brand and et cetera, et cetera. But this isn't a crisis, right? Let's put it in perspective. I think perspective is important. Because I think if the quote unquote, you know, if the manager, right, or leadership, however you want to define it, if they overreact at everything that goes wrong, then you have a culture where everything becomes a crisis. And that's disruptive. I don't have any, you know, I didn't necessarily research this, but intuitively I would say that probably results in inefficiencies that probably leads to lower retention rates, because at some point employees probably are saying, this is just too much stress for me. I want to get out of here. It leads to unhappy, you know, workers. I just think that if you have, you know, managers and leadership that set the tone, that say, look, you know, there's certain things that are just mistakes happen. Let's put things in perspective and deal with them and grow and learn from them and as an organization. But then, of course, there are certain things that may happen if, let's say, there's a cybersecurity incident and we have a breach and, you know, there's now we have media scrutiny and, you know, they're questioning our brand and our integrity. And okay, that might be a crisis. Or we have, you know, a member of our you know, team that has done something that in public or even in private that questions our ethics, or that was racist, or you know, degraded men or women or something. I mean, that's a crisis, right? So I mean, we have to have a certain standard for what is a crisis, what isn't, and it has to be defined. So those are the types of things I think that the culture sets, and it really does need to be those leaders that set that. And then everyone else kind of adheres to.
Yeah, and to your point, Parham, I think if people are quote unquote afraid of making a decision for fear of making the wrong decision or doing something that could put the company at risk, they're not going to take those chances. And some of those chances could make or break the difference of the company being successful and actually achieving their targets and their objectives. And so sticking with your cyber point here and to Marco's point on planning, I think if an organization isn't prepared for something to happen, regardless of what it is, and they don't deal with it and respond accordingly or appropriately, they could then create a crisis. And we can look at a number of cyber incidents where, yes, a password was weak or a phishing email was clicked or something bad happens. And that in itself is bad, maybe not a crisis, but the way an organization handles it publicly could end up turning into a crisis. So talk to me a little bit about communication and preparation for how to handle that type of situation internally, and then how you present yourself externally from crisis management mode to avoid the crisis. And then when things get out of hand, how do you deal with that after?
Yeah. Well, I think a fundamental practice is, first of all, honesty, you know, honesty and integrity. I think, and this goes into the preparation. I think the best thing you can do to prepare for a crisis is conduct your business with honesty and integrity throughout the course of business. And this may seem like an obvious thing to do, but at the end of the day, if your organization comes under scrutiny for whatever reason, right? If a crisis happens, if you have a bad actor or a rogue actor, or, you know, you get hacked and people start looking at you, if you've operated, if you as the executive, if all of your executives, you a company, when you've conducted yourself and your business with honesty and integrity and with the utmost, you know, of the kind of best intentions and best business practices and ethics, when you are in the midst of crisis and people do start to scrutinize you and your actions and look under the covers, when there's nothing there, that crisis is the only thing they'll focus on. And there also won't be additional flames and things to look at and additional headlines, right? I think that's the most important thing. And it seems simple, but when you look at some of these, you know, just look at the news headlines, right? It's this person gets in the news and then people start looking at him or her. And then it's like, we just uncovered this. And then we uncovered this. And then we uncovered this. And then you realize, wow, they really are a bad actor. You know, we really are now questioning it. And what once was potentially a questionable crisis now becomes fact, whether that one thing was true or not. So be honest, act with integrity. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got, during my career was from a 4-star. And he said, just act with honesty and integrity, and everything always works itself out. And it was an email that I printed and I have to this day. The second thing that I'll say is talk to a lawyer. I think, lawyers have a bad rep, but I think if you talk to a good lawyer and ask them to, this is again, before a crisis happens, find a good lawyer and say, I am interested in understanding what are some things that I should do and some, processes I should put in place to be prepared in case a crisis happens for my particular business. Because everything depends on what business you're in. They will give you very specific guidance and on what you should do. It may be they may look at your business and say, you know, you may want to set specific governance around how you're dealing with your data, around who has access to certain things, around who makes certain decisions, around who talks to press and who doesn't in the case of an incident. It could be a whole lot of things. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know what the outcomes could be, but I do know that there are and also what they might do is they may say, you know, we have there's companies who specialize in crisis management. They might just point you to one of those, and they're spendy, so not everyone can afford it. But even just an hour, I mean, an hour would cost you maybe $500, you know, $800, something like that. You'd be surprised how much value you get out of just a 1-hour conversation with these people, because they do this all day long, and there's some common best practices. I think if you're a company of any sort of meaningful scale and size, investing a few $1,000 in a couple hours with a professional crisis management person or even a lawyer to talk through these issues about your business and get some, you don't have to have them write you a plan, but just to have them give you an idea of what to think about, and you can write the plan yourself, I think is worth the time. An investment. And if you just Google this, you know that you can find people locally or some national firms that'll you know, help you do this.
Yeah, I think this is a great point, and you kind of started answering my question before I asked, because I was going to ask you to maybe as we go towards the end here, to lay up a few important points to make some steps. And I love how you said that this should be part of your business plan. And I don't know, Sean and I have been saying that many times when we talk about the business of security, the value that cybersecurity brings to a company or to any organization, and that if you can plan that, again, you probably reduce the risk, or at least you know when you can panic or not. And obviously, if you're well prepared, then you don't even panic because you know how to react. But as you said at the beginning, you also work with smaller business, for example, that they can't afford that kind of companies that are specialized in that. So what could be like a couple of basic tips for the everyday person that could actually shut down because a cybersecurity accident happened?
Yeah, I think one thing that a small company can do is, most of us have either a mentor, or we know somebody that we, they may not be an official mentor, but we have somebody that is, we look up to, or they're, a respected business person that we work with. Even if we can't afford to hire somebody, you can always call them up and say, hey, this is a weakness or a gap in my business plan. My business, or can you give me an hour? Let me talk to you about my concerns. How can I, what do you think some of my risks are from a crisis management perspective, and what can I do about it? I think that's one area. I think some of the other low hanging fruits from a quote crisis management perspective are look at, you know, again, who has access to your data and who's doing what with it. I think social media's I think another one these days that you see a lot of, you know, so and so is posting and they represent the company or they have a senior role in the company, and all of a sudden they're posting kind of, the word escapes me, but kind of inappropriate things on the web. You know, you should be monitoring these things, making sure that there's policies or around those types of things. So I think these are some of the things that small businesses can do, you know, reduce the risk of the outcomes. And I think the other point, you know, as we're starting to wind down the conversation, is I also don't think people should be afraid of a crisis. I can genuinely say that the crises that I have gone through, while in the moment they were the worst moments of my professional life and the most frightening, the fact that I was able to get through them, it's very cliche, but I definitely came out of them now, you know, years and years later. I'm a stronger executive. I have more confidence. And I think, as importantly, my colleagues have more confidence in me, because and they've told me this explicitly. They said, you know, we watched how you handled it, and our respect for you grew. We saw how you were able to navigate these difficult circumstances. We didn't know you had these skills to do these. So, I mean, when you really need to lean into these situations, you really have two options when you deal with a crisis, particularly if you're have an organization. You can let the crisis define you, or you can say, look, I'm going to kind of own this. I'm going to say this happened under my watch. Again, if you're the head of the company, and then you're going to do what needs to be done to fix it. That's why you see in the news, you know, like Mark Zuckerberg and all these company honchos on the news saying this happened. I'm the head of the organization, and I'm going to do something to fix it. Whether you believe, you know, the politics of it, that aside, that's why they do it, because they lean into it, and they're the head of the company. And if you kind of believe what they say, they always end up looking better. And look what happens to their stock price, right? It keeps going up and up and up. And so I really think on the scale that probably most of us and most of your listeners kind of operate at, if you handle it well, your company will benefit, and you personally will benefit from it. It is a, believe it or not, it is a very rewarding experience to go through it and to come out successfully.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Marco.
I cannot avoid to think that, yeah, we take security seriously.
I know.
As the typical answer.
Sorry, but right, yes, we take yours.
Let's change that one.
Yeah. No, I think to your point, Parham, as we wrap here, I've had many conversations off the record, so I'm not going to name anybody, but some of the best CISOs are those that have been through a breach. Even if they've been fired from the company that experienced that breach, they have experience of dealing with the crisis. Mm-hmm. And for better or worse, they probably know what worked and what didn't, right? And so to your point, you don't have to be a CISO, just anybody who's dealt with something.
Yeah.
And come out on the other side, hopefully learn from it, and then can apply it to the next thing. And what I like about this conversation is we talk a lot about risk management and disaster recovery and business continuity. And those are all just terms for the same thing, which is be prepared for a crisis.
Yeah.
Manage that plan in a way that you're not constantly in chaos. And I think the other points I hear today, Parham, from you is leaders that lead with integrity and honesty and empower their teams to deal with crisis so they don't become crisis, I think are important as well. So great conversation. Hopefully companies and folks from companies large and small will take something from this and put a plan together.
Well, I that was a great summary. I couldn't agree more. It just it's all about the team building trust, having a plan, and knowing that, unfortunately, to your point, at some time in your career, you're going to have to deal with a crisis. And if you've led your career and your work with like you said, honesty and integrity, you will come out on top and you'll live to fight another day.
Yep. I mean, full fail.
The ultimate,
panic.
Ultimate objective, live another day.
All right. Well, we want to thank you again, and thanks all the audience for listening to us. There'll be resources if you have any links that you would like to share, but people can find more information about it. They can find it on the podcast resource notes, and you can find these and many more on itspmagazine.com. Thank you again, everybody.
Archer empowers organizations to manage multiple dimensions of risk on one platform with on-premises and software as a service offerings, and quickly implement industry standard processes and best practices for advanced risk management maturity, informed decision-making, and enhanced business performance. Learn more at archerirm.com. EdgeScan offers continuous vulnerability intelligence as a service, accurately identifying vulnerabilities and exposures across the full stack. All threats are verified by cybersecurity experts, providing exploitable risk and remediation guidance, virtually false positive free. Learn more at edgescan.com.
Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Redefining Security Podcast. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.